This morning. So I'm excited about this message. I spoke it a few months ago in Tag Youth, and God just kept bringing it back. It actually curtails very nicely off of Ryan's message a couple weeks ago. So if you did not hear that, I suggest you go to our website on the media page, look up his message. Last week, Pastor's message, wasn't that amazing, on being thankful, great message. And then Ryan was just talking about Hector's on Thursday. Just some powerful messages and speakers that we have here at the City Church, and I'm thankful for that. This morning's title is, What's Your Excuse? What's Your Excuse? Let's pray. God, we do thank you for just being here this morning and for loving us. And I just pray that as the message is brought forth, God, that you take me out of it, less of me and more of you, God. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So what's your excuse? We have an excuse for everything, or there can be an excuse for everything. You know, someone asks us, hey, you want to go work out in the morning? And the excuses can start, you know, oh, I have a lot of schoolwork or housework, or I was up late with the kids, or I don't really feel good. Or somebody asks, hey, you want to hang out later? And we can say, no, I got stuff to do. Or, you know, the old one is, you want to go on a date? And the girls are like, no, I got to wash my hair. Just excuses for everything. I looked it up, and the top 10 most used excuses in the workplace are these. Number one, I forgot. Number two, no one told me to go ahead. Three, I didn't think it was that important. Four, wait until the boss comes back and then we'll ask him. Number five, I didn't know you were in a hurry for it. Number six, well, that's the way we've always done it. Number seven, that's not my department. Number eight, how was I to know it was any different? Number nine, I'm waiting for the okay. And number 10, that's his job, not mine. Excuses. We come up with a lot of excuses. Do you want to go adopt a block on Saturday? No, it's my time to relax. Do you want to go on a missions trip? Well, I don't have any money, or I can't take off of work. Excuses, excuses, excuses. So this morning, it's what's your excuse? J. Michael Straczynski said this, people spend too much time finding other people to blame, too much energy finding excuses for not being what they are capable of being, and not enough energy putting themselves on the line, growing out of the past, and getting on with their lives. It's easy to find an excuse for something. It's easy to do that because that's the culture that we live in. George Washington Carver said this, 99% of the failures come from people who have the habit of making excuses. Excuses. What's your excuse? We're going to take another look at Moses this morning. So if you want to turn to Exodus 4, we'll be reading a lot from there. Moses, if we remember, was called to be a great leader. He had a big task of leading the Israelites out of slavery because God had set that group of people apart, and they weren't being treated the way that God had intended. So he came down. God said, listen, I've seen the misery that the Israelites are in, and I'm going to help them. I'm going to get them out of slavery. And then he looks at Moses and said, and I'm going to use you to do it. What a big job that is. But God chose Moses. And he wasn't your typical choice, in my opinion, anyway. He wasn't the guy that, you know, was doing everything great and was on, you know, just the top 10 people. Moses was speech impaired. He was not a good speaker. In order to talk to people, I would think you would have to have some sort of good communication. But this was not Moses. Moses was also a murderer. Earlier in his life, he was witnessed killing an Egyptian who was mistreating a Jew. He was a murderer. And he was also a runner. He ran away into the wilderness to avoid the consequences of what he did. Those are three things about Moses that I would not think that God would choose that kind of person. But he did. God chose Moses. And do you ever think like that? Do you ever think about your past? As soon as God came to Moses, and I love how the burning bush came, I love how Ryan pointed out that Moses turned and he went over to the bush. Because that's our first step, right? We have to listen and notice when God is talking. But the first thing that Moses said to God was, well, who am I? That's where the excuses started. Who am I? because Moses knew about his past. He knew what he had done. And a lot of us, we know our past. And I know that I look at God and say, God, but who am I? You know my past. You know what I've done. You even know the thoughts that I think right now. You know me. You know me. Who am I to do this? But God can look beyond all that, and he sees us for what we can be. And God will over and over choose us when we give our lives to him. Even when we think he can't use us, he says, oh, you wait and see what I can do with you. The Bible says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those of us that love him. We have to trust God that not only does he have the right time, he has the right person. He's asking you for a reason. Why? Because no one can do what you can do like you. No one can do what you can do like you. It's one of my favorite sayings. I'm in a very reflective period of my life. This weekend it marks the 10th year anniversary of Divine here at the church. And so I think back over the 10 years, you know, like, wow, 10 years is a very long time. And there's a lot of different dance places, a lot of different studios. There's a lot of different dancers. Dancers are a dime a dozen. I get that. And as I think over the years, I was, God asked me to do something, and I just said, okay, and I jumped right in. And I think that's why God keeps bringing me back to this kind of message, because how many of you know that when you get older, you kind of lose that? You kind of lose that, oh, I'll just do it. Let's just jump right in. Let's just, you know, God said to do this, let me do it. And throughout the years, I think I've lost that a little bit. And so he, you know, I never speak about something that I haven't gone through or that God is showing me. And so this right here is what God is currently showing me. God says, Aaron, I don't want you to do or be anything but you. Just keep doing it. Keep, and I'm going to do it until God calls me to do something else. But no one can do what you can do like you. No one can do what I can do like me. You know, that's not a bad thing. That's a God-created thing. And Moses was no different. Remember that in Exodus, I just said it, you know, God came down. He saw that they were in misery. He said, God, I'm, you know, God chose Moses. And Moses is like, who am I? And the excuses started instead of the service. Instead of Moses just saying, all right, God, I know you have the right timing and I know you have the right person. Instead, he starts to offer excuses instead of his service. God asks us to do something and we begin to offer excuses instead of our service. Let's go to chapter 4, verse 1. And here's where the excuses really start. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Now, if you read chapter 3, I encourage you to do that. God gives Moses the rundown on how it's all going to happen. He lays it out for him. And so Moses' response, his excuse was, what if they don't believe me, God? What if they don't see what I see? What if they're not going to, you know, take my word for it? And we do that. We've all questioned God. We've all asked him, what if? What if I go back to work and they look at me like I'm crazy, which they probably will? What if I, you know, start living for you and I lose all my friends? What if they don't even believe that I've changed? What if, God? We begin to question the very one who asked us to do something. Now, if I ask Garrett to help me with some stocks and bonds on Wall Street, because that might never happen, but if I wanted to, and I go to Garrett asking him about it, I have full confidence, the asker, that he is capable of giving me an answer. He just graduated from St. John Fisher, a finance degree, all that kind of stuff. So I, the asker, have full confidence in him that he knows what he's doing. If I ask Shawnee to help me in the kitchen, she's a home ec teacher, she's brilliant in the kitchen, I am not. But if I ask her to help me cook a 5-course meal, I, the asker, have full confidence that she knows what she's doing and she's fully capable of helping me do that. So why would God ask somebody to do something if he didn't think they were fully capable of doing the very thing he asked them to do? if God asks us to do something, he must see something inside of us that maybe we don't see. But he has full awareness of who we are. And he has full confidence that we're going to be able to walk in whatever it is that he's asking us to do. If we can do what we can, God will do what we can't. Joyce Meyer says it all the time. I'm just asking you to do this. Don't worry about everything else. I'll do what you can't, but I need you to do this. Sometimes it's easier to trust God than it is to believe that he has entrusted us. That's good. Sometimes it's easier to trust God. Yeah, I trust you, God. That's, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my life verse. I love it. Trust you, God. But then when God asks us to do something, we're like, really? You want me? You trust me? Nah, I'm good. It's easier to trust God than it is to believe that he has entrusted us. And he has. He's entrusted us with the mission of spreading his word, of getting his name out. That's a big call on all of our lives. But God responds like this. Let's read verse 2 through 5. Then the Lord said to him, "What is in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. The Lord said, "Throw it on the ground." Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said, "Reach out your hand and take it by the tail." So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake and turned it back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Jacob, Isaac and Jacob, has appeared to you. So God responds like this. Well, take what it is in your hand, and I'm going to show you how they're going to believe you. I'm going to show you how I can work through you to make this happen. God says, "I have given you more than enough." That staff in his hand was just a stick. You know, when I go for a hike or a walk in the woods, my kids pick up sticks and they got to have a walking stick. You know, my husband has to tear down a whole branch and make it look like a Yoda, you know, like stick walking, you know. That's all that it is. But he says, "I'm going to take what you have in your hand and I'm going to use that. I don't need you to be anybody else but what you are. I'm going to use what I've given you already." And that's what Moses' purpose was. God didn't ask him to be anything that he wasn't. And God's not asking us to be anything that we're not. He's going to mold us and he's going to shape us and he's going to change us. All the time we'll be changing when we're seeking after God. But he's going to use the gifts that he's already given you. God says, "I've given you so many things in your hand, and all I want is for you to use them." And then he says this in verse 6. Then the Lord said, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So Moses put his hand into his cloak. And when he took it out, the skin was leprous. It had become white as snow. "Now put it back into your cloak," he said. So Moses put his hand back into his cloak, and when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. Then the Lord said, "If they don't believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe those two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on dry ground. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground." I love that. God says, if they don't believe this, they're going to see that. If they don't believe that, then they'll see this. It wasn't just one sign. It wasn't just one try that Moses did something. It was a few. And so many times, God asks us to do something, and so we're like, "All right, God, you asked me to do it. I'm going to step out, and I'm going to do it." We try it. We don't see it. We don't see any fruit from it. We feel like a failure, and then we step back, and we say, "God, I tried it. I'm done. I did what you asked me to do, and it didn't do anything. I didn't see any result from it. I'm just done." But God said to Moses, if they don't believe the first thing, then look it, I'm going to give you something else. It wasn't after the first try that Moses saw any results. And if you continue reading Exodus, he keeps trying and trying and trying. It's crazy. But we can't stop because we tried something once for God and it didn't work out. If God called you, he called you. it's not always going to be like butterflies and roses. If he called you, he called you. We can't quit because something didn't happen right away for us. We have to keep going. We have to keep trying. And then, here's another excuse, one of my favorite excuses. Moses, in verse 10, said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue." Moses says, God, you know, we've been talking, and as you can tell, I'm not a good speaker. Some people say that he even had a stuttering problem. He couldn't speak well. I can't talk good. My words get all tangled, God. And I remember, some of you know this story, but I'm just going to share it for those of you that don't. In 10th grade English, I had to do a report in front of the class. And I almost failed 10th grade English with a 32, remember the grade, because I would not stand up in front of people and talk. I wouldn't stand up and give a report on the Great Expectations. So my mom and dad, they were like, you know, 32, Aaron, this is not going to fly. So I convinced my teacher, this is so weird, I convinced my teacher to let me videotape myself with puppets behind a sheet doing my oral report with puppets. And so weird. Sesame Street called the other day. They needed a sub, you know. That's me, okay, with puppets. So I recorded with puppets a report on the Great Expectations. I did not fail that grade. It wasn't a good grade, but I didn't fail it. But all because I didn't feel like I could speak in front of people. This is really funny right now, isn't it? So hilarious, God. So I get when Moses says, God, I'm not good at this stuff. I can't speak in front of people. You know, I read that and I was like, yes, someone gets me. They get me. But this is what God says. It's this good stuff. Verse 11 said, "The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouth? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I will help you speak, and I will teach you what you have to say." God says, I made your mouth. I'm asking you to do this for a reason. I'm going to help you say what you need to say. I'm going to help you push through your weaknesses. I'm going to help you push through your inadequacies because I'm God and that's what I do, and I'm going to help you do that. Why does he do that? Because our inadequacies are not a problem for God. Our weaknesses are nothing for God. He knows us. He made us. Do you think he would ask us to do something from the beginning that we were not capable of doing? Our inadequacies are usually a problem for us. I can stand up here and I can give you 119 reasons why I should not be up here. My weaknesses are my problem. My weaknesses can also stop me from being what I am capable of being in God because I can use them as an excuse not to do what God has called me to do. When we give that to God, though, when we say, okay, God, you know, I'm really weak in this area or I can't really do this, but I'm going to give it to you, then we're able to step in to our calling. We're able to move forward in what God is asking us to do. In verse 13, let's keep reading, another excuse. But Moses said, "Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else." Do you ever think that? God asks you to do something, you're like, God, that's nice and all that you asked me. Thank you for thinking of your servant. You're so cool. I'm really honored. But send somebody else. You know, the timing's not really good for me right now, or I got a lot of stuff on my plate, or I just don't really feel like it. I'm not good enough. Why don't you send Brad? He's good. He'll do great at this. Why don't you send Jenna? You know, she's young. She's good. Just send her. I'm good. I'm good. But the thing is, God didn't ask those people to do what he's asking me to do. He's asking me to do it. And God will never take away the gifts and the calling that he has asked you to do. Hector hit on it on Thursday, Romans 11:29, for the God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. God's gifts and callings are irrevocable. So I'm a dance teacher. If I stop teaching dance tomorrow, does that mean I can't teach dance? No. It just means I'm not teaching dance. But the more I do something, the better I get at it. And so when God asks us to do something, maybe we're not, in our minds, the best person for the job. But God sees something inside of us that makes us the best person for the job. So God answers him like this in verse 14. Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so that you can perform signs with it." God gets angry at Moses because he keeps making excuses as to why he's not the guy. But he is the guy because God called him. But he keeps making excuses, and he keeps trying to deny his calling and his purpose. So God sent him his brother. But if you notice, he said, "I'll let Aaron go with you, but I still chose you. Moses, you're still going to go. You're not getting out of this. I'll let Aaron go with you, but I'm still choosing you to do what I've asked you to do." We can try to run from our purpose all we want, but God is always going to win. God accommodated Moses' lack of faith, but the compromise was less than God's best. Moses was God's man for the job. And if you keep reading in Exodus, like I encourage you to do, in Exodus 32, you'll see that Aaron, the guy that God let help Moses, Aaron is the guy that led the Israelites to build a golden calf while Moses was up on the mountain receiving the Ten Commandments. That was Aaron. That wasn't part of God's original plan, because God's perfect will is always better than his permissive will. God's perfect will is always better than his permissive will. Not only do excuses anger God, but they also cause discouragement within the body of Christ. Why? Because they force the few to carry the weight of many. Could you imagine if all of us in this room, when God asked us to do something, we actually did it instead of offering excuses? We actually offered God our service. We would be unstoppable, as we should be serving God as God followers, because every single one of us in this room is called to do something different in a different way. Well, there's already somebody playing the keyboard. Okay. So we'll get 10 keyboards up here. We'll rotate, whatever. No one's going to play it the way that you can play it. No one plays it the way Debbie plays it. And when Jesse gets up there, I don't expect Jesse to play it the way Debbie plays it. She plays it her own way. But that's the way it's supposed to be. We're all supposed to be using our gifts. We're all supposed to be saying yes to God, because that's the way the kingdom of God is going to move forward. That's the way the kingdom of God is going to reach those people that don't know him, is if we all stop making excuses and start giving God our service. Satan is going to use excuses as a wedge between his people. B.J. Miller once said this: "It is a great deal easier to do that which God gives us to do, no matter how hard it is, than it is to face the responsibilities of not doing it." It's easier to say yes to God. Say, "God, I'll do what you asked me to do. No matter how hard it is, God, I know that you have the right time. You chose me to do it. I'm going to do it." It's easier to do what it is God asks us to do than it is to face the responsibilities of meeting God one day and him saying, "I asked you to do this. Why didn't you do it?" Whew, I don't want to be there. I don't know your situation, But whatever situation you are in, God can use you. Proverbs 19:21 says, "You can make plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail." It will prevail. Whether we say yes to him, God's still going to prevail in the end. I found this on Pinterest. I am a pinner. And I read it every time, and I just love it. Jacob was a cheater. Peter had a temper. David had an affair. Noah got drunk. Jonah ran from God. Paul was a murderer. Gideon was insecure. Miriam was a gossip. Martha was a worrier. Thomas was a doubter. Sarah was impatient. Elijah was moody. Moses stuttered. Zacchaeus was short. Abraham was old. And Lazarus was dead. What's your excuse? It's time to stop the excuses and say no more excuses for me.
You know what? No more excuses. I will willingly choose God's fame above my own. I will stop acting as if I'm the center of the world. I will look at my apathy straight in the face and demand that it leave. No more excuses. I will both admit my addictions and cry out to the healer. I will refuse to allow the enemy to continue stealing my joy. I will stop worrying about what everyone around me is thinking. No more excuses. I will turn my heart back again. I will listen hard to the whispers of His Spirit, and I will proclaim the wonders of His never-ending love. No more excuses. No games, no pretending, no hiding, no dead religion. No more excuses. Period.
Let's make that declaration this morning. Let's say to God, you know what? I'm not going to give you any more of my excuses. Let's know that in 2 Corinthians, when God says, when he says, "My grace is sufficient for you, that his power is made perfect in my weakness." Every single one of us has something that, you know, we're not proud of, that we don't think is good enough. You know, we're human. That's how we are. But God says, "My power is made perfect in your weakness." In the very thing that you're insecure about, that's where God's power comes in and says, "No, come on. We can do this. I'm going to use you to do it. I chose you to do it. I chose you. Don't give it to somebody else, because that's not my perfect will. My perfect will is to use you to do it, because I chose you to do it." No more excuses, only service to you, God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you've never asked God into your heart this morning, now is the time to do it. He will come into your life. He will change you. He will make you brand new. Your past doesn't have to be that anymore. You can walk forward out of here knowing that God is your Savior and that He loves you. If that's you this morning, you want to ask God into your life, just raise your hand and we're going to pray for you. And then I have to obey God. If this message is something that you've been just kind of struggling with, and maybe you didn't even know you were struggling with it, maybe you didn't think that the excuses that you were saying were even excuses, but maybe in your spirit now that you know that, you're just trying to run from God and what He was asking you to do. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to take a stand, and we're going to make a declaration to God that we're not going to offer Him any more excuses, that we're only going to offer Him our service. If that's you this morning, if you don't want to make any more excuses in your life, I'm asking you to stand. Amen. Amen. Let's everyone say this. Dear God, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Let my past be in the past. Let me stop making excuses, and let me give you my service. I know that your power is made perfect in my weakness. No more excuses for me. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand today. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, there'll be a team down here for prayer. If not, we hope to see you Thursday night, and we hope you have a great week. We love you. Bye.